This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of Seymour fracture from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Seymour fractures are displaced distal phalangeal physeal fractures with an associated nail bed injury. Diagnosis is made clinically with the presence of the nail plate lying superficial to the epinicular fold and radiographs potentially showing a widened physis or displacement between the epiphysis and the metaphysis. Treatment is usually antibiotics, open reduction, and pinning across the DIP joint with nail bed repair. Now let's get into the episode. With respect to the epidemiology, as far as incidence, 20 to 30% of phalangeal fractures involve the physis in children. As far as the anatomic location, middle finger injury is most common. As far as the type of the distal phalangeal physeal fracture, they can be metaphyseal fractures 1 to 2 millimeters distal to the epiphyseal plate, Salter-Harris 1 fractures, and Salter-Harris 2 fractures. As far as the type of nail bed injury, it can be a nail bed laceration, nail plate subluxation, and interposition of the soft tissues at the fracture site, which is usually the germinal matrix. Moving on to the etiology, with respect to pathophysiology, the mechanism of injury for a Seymour fracture is direct trauma or a crush injury, for example, a finger caught in a door, crush from a heavy object, or direct trauma in a sport. As far as the pathoanatomy, Seymour fractures have a similar mechanism to mallet fingers in adults. The injury causes flex posturing of the distal phalanx. Deformity results from an imbalance between the flexor and extensor tendons at the level of the fracture. Imbalance occurs due to different insertion sites of flexor and extensor tendons. Remember, the extensor tendon inserts into the epiphysis of the distal phalanx, while the flexor tendon inserts into the metaphysis of the distal phalanx. Finally, remember that a widened physis is likely to have interposed tissue in the fracture site. Moving on to the presentation, physical exam in the setting of a Seymour fracture will typically show an apparent mallet deformity, ecchymosis and swelling, as well as the nail plate lying superficial to the epinicular fold. Moving on to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a PA and a lateral. However, the PA may appear normal. Findings typically include a widened physis or displacement between the epiphysis / metaphysis, as well as a flexion deformity at the fracture site, which is seen on the lateral view. The differential diagnosis of a Seymour fracture is a mallet finger, and know that a pediatric mallet finger is usually an osseous avulsion, which corresponds to a Salter-Harris 3 and a Salter-Harris 4 fracture. Remember that a mallet finger fracture line enters the DIP joint, while a Seymour fracture line traverses the physis and does not enter the DIP joint. Treatment of a Seymour fracture can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes close reduction and splinting, which is indicated in minimally displaced closed fractures and when there is no interposition of soft tissue at the fracture site. Operative options include a close reduction and pinning across the DIP joint, and another option is antibiotics, open reduction, and pinning across the DIP joint as well as a nail bed repair. Close reduction and pinning across the DIP joint is indicated for displaced closed fractures and when there is no interposition of soft tissue at the fracture site. Moving on to antibiotics, open reduction, and pinning across the DIP joint as well as nail bed repair, know that open management has fewer complications than closed management. Indications for this option includes open fracture. The technique involves hyperflexion of the digit, which will permit removal of the interposed soft tissue from the fracture site, thorough irrigation and debridement, anatomical reduction and retrograde K-wire fixation crossing the fracture site and the DIP joint, and finally nail bed injury repair. Some complications to mention after Seymour fracture includes nail dystrophy, growth disturbance of the distal phalanx and nail, secondary fracture displacement, chronic osteomyelitis secondary to failure to treat as an open fracture, and finally flexion deformity. To end this review session about Seymour fractures, let's talk about the prognosis. Know that operative intervention is warranted to ensure that there is no interposed tissue in the fracture site, and failure to recognize the injury may result in nail plate deformity, physeal arrest, and or chronic osteomyelitis. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. A 12-year-old boy crushes his middle finger in a car door. He presents with pain and swelling of the finger. Examination reveals an apparent mallet deformity. The nail plate is grossly intact, but there is a subungual hematoma and considerable swelling about the fingertip. AP and lateral radiographs show a Salter-Harris 2 fracture that's consistent with a typical Seymour fracture. What is the next best step? And the choices are 1. Mallet splint in situ, 2. body taping to the ring finger. 3. Nail plate removal, nail bed repair, removal of interposed soft tissue and open reduction. 4. Nail plate removal and replacement, open reduction, tendon repair, and distal interphalangeal joint sparing pin fixation. And 5. Close reduction and pin fixation across the distal interphalangeal joint. The correct answer to this question is 3. Nail plate removal, nail bed repair, removal of interposed soft tissue, and open reduction. So this patient has a Seymour fracture with interposed soft tissue or germinal matrix, which must be removed from the fracture site. To quickly review, Seymour fractures include Salter-Harris 1, 2, and metaphyseal fractures 2 millimeters distal to the physis. When treating the fracture, the nail should be preserved if possible. Closed fractures without nail injury are treated with closed reduction by hyperflexion and splinting or pinning across the DIP joint if the fracture is unstable. If the reduction is difficult, one can assume tissue interposition and nail plate elevation and removal of soft tissue is indicated, similar to treatment for open fractures. Open fractures with the elevation of the nail plate superficial to the epinicular fold are treated with nail plate elevation, removal of the interposed soft tissue, usually germinal matrix, reduction, and nail bed repair. Replacement of the nail plate beneath the nail fold is sufficient bony stabilization. Extension splinting is maintained for 4 to 6 weeks. Closed treatment of an open Seymour fracture puts patients at high risk of both osteomyelitis and physeal arrest. Krusch-Mandel et al. Retrospectively reviewed the treatment of 24 Seymour fractures. 9 were treated with closed reduction and splinting, 9 with debridement, open reduction, nail fixation and splinting, 5 with debridement, open reduction, nail fixation and pinning, and 1 with debridement, open reduction, and nail removal. They found that 23 out of 24 regained full motion, but 11 had nail growth disturbances. They recommend reduction and splinting for closed fractures, and reduction, debridement, and K-wire fixation for instability in open injuries. Abzug et al. Reviewed Seymour fractures. They advocate a more aggressive approach. Surgical management for both open and closed injuries to ensure that there is no interposed tissue in the fracture site to reduce the risk of physeal arrest, nail deformity, and chronic osteomyelitis. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, splinting alone without reduction will likely lead to physeal growth deformity and nail growth disturbances. Answer 2, immediate buddy taping would immobilize a malreduced fracture. Buddy taping is not used for the distal phalanx. Answer 4, DIP joint sparing fixation with the K-wire is not feasible because of limited purchase in the epiphyseal plate. There is also no indication of a tendon injury in this patient. The mallet posture occurs because the terminal extensor slip and the volar plate only insert into the epiphysis. This is from extension force, whereas the FDP spans the epiphysis and inserts on the metaphysis, and this is from flexion force. Finally, answer 5, close reduction and pinning would lock the interposed germinal matrix in the fracture site. That's all for this review about Seymour fracture. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast thus far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.